It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We could leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line. With a death wish, eat right, didn't help. No name on the guest list.
You know, we talked about would someone have to take the fall for what happened in the two playoff games that CJ played. We didn't think Nikayla would go anywhere. Then Nick Cassero came out and said that he expected Nikayla back. And then the thought, hey, maybe if you have to fire someone just because you need to make a move, Gerard Johnson might be the guy just because someone had to eat it for what happened. Well, Gerard Johnson is interviewing for a promotion. I think he got an interview with Miami, and of course they promoted Bobby Slowick, another Texan tie. The Eagles are interested in him as well, so he'll talk to the Eagles about that job. The question for Gerard Johnson and his potential success is Howie Roseman hiring him, or is Nick Sirianni hiring him? Because if Howie Roseman's hiring him, then we're going to be really pissed that Gerard Johnson got out of town, because that leads to big success for the Eagles and Super Bowl appearances and great offenses. If it's Nick Sirianni taking the reins and making him hire, then we're like, hey, we dodged a bullet.
That is my own. If he gets the Eagles job, which I hope he does.
Yeah.
But if he does get the Eagles job, that is my entire read on it.
Who made the decision?
Yeah. Is it like, hey, I might get fired anyway. This is a promotion. Sure. I'll listen to Nick Sirianni for a year before he gets fired. Or is it, oh, my friend Howie Roseman called with an interesting opportunity to, again, go to a Super Bowl and get a head coaching job.
Yeah, so he was an Eagle in 2011 when he came out of A&M.
Okay, so Roseman's familiar with his game.
At least he's aware that he was once part of the organization. I don't know if that helps or helps Gerard Johnson. You know, Roseman was promoted to GM in 2010, so he saw the Gerard Johnson tape and thought he could bring him in. Of course, Gerard Johnson been here with the Texans since, well, D'Amico Ryan's took the job as one of his hires as the quarterback's coach. And we haven't heard CJ give an evaluation of Gerard Johnson like he does of the OC. He's like, yeah, you know, Bobby's still learning, or Kale's is still learning. We haven't heard that type of talk from CJ in evaluating Gerard Johnson. So maybe he's all good and Gerard Johnson's great for CJ. So if he is, it would be unfortunate to lose him. But the rest of the NFL thinks pretty highly of him as well. The Eagles, who know they got to get this one right, and are interested in him. So that was reported yesterday. We'll see if Gerard Johnson gets that job. And of course, that's something that is a step up for his career. So on a personal level, for him, he'd love for it to happen. But on a Texans level, if we're being selfish, we would say, hey, maybe he turns it down and says he'd rather be in Houston as opposed to not getting the job because the Eagles don't want him. I would like for Gerard Johnson to be wanted in Philly, but for him to go, you know what? I like what I have here. I don't think that would happen. I'm just saying, I don't want him to be turned down, but I'd still rather have him stay.
Yeah, I'd rather have him stay somehow without getting,
without being told thanks, but no thanks.
I understand what you're saying. I also would then question his judgment.
Sure. Well, sure. Sure. There's a lot of things that don't make sense about my scenario.
Yeah, but I understand what you're saying. I think Gerard Johnson's someone who's always been thought of pretty well. He gets some benefit that he's never the one that's actually calling plays. You know, it's still theoretical with what he does on a day-to-day basis with the Texans. No one's ever been the Texans lost this game because of Gerard Johnson. He does benefit from that. But, I'm sure he wants to be a head coach one day. He needs to take the next step.
Here's something you might not feel great about. He did spend one season with Nick Sirianni on the 2020 Indy staff. So is he a Nick Sirianni guy? Because he's got a connection with Nick Sirianni.
Yeah. He's a compromise hire.
Maybe they. And, of course, Howie Roseman brought him in when he was a player. So I don't know who's so pushing for this decision, this potential hire.
If he's half of each of their hire, maybe they just like lose in the NFC title game.
Maybe they win the division and lose in the NFC title game. And Jalen Hurts is pretty good.
That's the middle road.
And the problem for them is no matter what they do, it doesn't look like A.J. Brown's coming back. That relationship feels like it's done for. So that might be a bigger thing than whoever they hire. The fact that A.J. Brown may be gone and they're going to have to find a receiver to complement Devontae Smith.
Is he the most likely, I'll just say, like, good? I don't know. Because I was going to go, like, Pro Bowl. I don't know. God knows who makes the Pro Bowl anymore.
Yeah.
But is he the only, like, or the most likely good player, A.J. Brown, to get traded this offseason?
He feels like the one that everyone believes will be someplace else.
Yeah. Maybe, like, oh, actually, I forgot about him because he broke his leg in September. But
yeah,
also,
Tyreek Hill's another.
Tyreek Hill.
Yeah. I mean, he likely won't get traded. The Dolphins just cut him. So he'll be free to move wherever he wants.
But yeah, I feel like those guys are like the biggest difference makers that are like, I can't say definitely, but like more than likely going to be on new teams.
Yeah, the Dolphins are in cap, as they say, cap hell. Mm-hmm. And a move that seems very likely is getting
free up that money.
Maybe a post-June cut, however they decide to do it. But yeah, it looks like Tyreek Hill certainly played his last down with the Dolphins, and A.J. Brown looks like he's following that path with the Eagles. Yeah. What do you do with a smallish or small receiver who had a significant leg injury? You have to wait and see what that recovery is like. I don't know that Tyreek Hill is a guy you sign early.
Also wrong side of 30, right?
Yeah, all those things play a part. He seems like a perfect guy for the Ravens, honestly. Like the Ravens we knew. I don't know what they're going to be like under Jesse Minter, but the GM is still there and the owner's still there.
They have a type.
Yeah, they do have a type of the receiver who feels like he's past his best days.
Yeah.
Or they'll just draft one who doesn't work out. Like, you know, Rashad Bateman. You know.
No, I don't. He doesn't count as working out. He's
I mean,
fine.
They gave him more money.
Yeah, I mean, what was he a first-round pick?
I believe so.
He did not work out.
Zay Flowers, better.
Yeah, that's.
But his size limits what he can actually be as an actual number one.
I'll give him worked out, though.
Yeah, first rounder as well. That one has worked out. Rashad Bateman, not so much.
Rashad Bateman had 19 catches this year.
Yeah, well, that was coming off what they thought was a breakout year year before.
He played 13 games and had 19 catches.
That's tough. That's a tough.
He has 21 career receiving yards in 5 years.
What? What did you just say?
2,100.
Oh, 2,100. Okay.
Receiving yards in 5 years.
Yeah, that didn't work out, even if they gave him money. Like last year, he had 756 yards and 9 touchdowns. They're like, hey, look, Rashad Bateman's finally coming along. That did not happen in 2025. 2024.
Finesse in the game all-star.
Good number. Yeah, it was a good year to go have your career year. So DeAndre Hopkins has said he would like to be a Raven, but if they can go from DeAndre Hopkins to Tyreek Hill, it feels like a very Ravenish move. They always feel like they're in that part of the free agency world where they're looking to add the one more piece to put him over the top.
And it's like, wow, this guy signed a 1 year, you know, $7 million contract. It's like, well, yeah, I mean, he broke his leg in October.
And it's always a credit to the Ravens when they get one of these guys. Yeah. They get a veteran that people have heard of that's played good football in the past.
Move I make in Madden every year.
Yeah, they always like applauding the Ravens for getting the deal done, for getting someone off the scrap heap nearly. And, of course, no one points out that the moves rarely work, particularly on offense. So, but beyond the Ravens free agency missteps, I guess, in some ways, we can get away from that. And we start the conversation with Gerard Johnson potentially moving on. And the Eagles will talk to him. David wants to talk some Texan football. We'll get to him before we go to break. What's up, David?
Hey, man. Just wanted to pose this question to you. I wanted to pose it to Lance this morning, but with all the Texans running back talk, the need for one probably next year, what do you think about Roschon Johnson bringing him back home to this area as the Bears moved into special teams, I believe. Made his big boy. He's young. He's still kind of rookie contract. He's fast. He can catch out of the backfield, and he can block. So what do you think about that?
So Rashawn Johnson would be in the category of a guy who's your third or fourth running back. How do they feel about Dare? Because if we look at this roster, of course, Woody Marks will be back. The Joe Mixon stuff, up in the air. We'll see.
Either you need either they, have Joe Mixon or you need to find.
You need to go find yourself a Joe Mixon. I don't think Rashawn Johnson fills the need that the Texans will likely have. But if they want to bring him in as their Dare replacement, if you want to, if I just want to simplify it like that, as a guy who's on your roster, you can depend on to be your third running back, but not really. He's more just a special teamer. I could see that. I think he was on IR. I don't know if he had a major injury, but he was placed on IR, so I don't know what his injury is. It was a thumb injury, so obviously it's not something you'd have to worry about next season. They put him on IR, so that's a name that you'd almost put in the category of camp body.
Yeah,
and if he made the roster, piece, yeah. Great. But it's not a guy you point to and go, hey. The Texans made a move to upgrade their running back room.
Yeah, I think he can be an upgrade on the Dare spot.
And he's younger. It would cost less. Dare's been around quite a while now.
Yeah, but, you know, going from Joe Mixon to Nick Chubb, who this year was basically the Mixon replacement, Roshan Johnson just, isn't of that level or hasn't shown to be of that level. And I think if he was, I don't know. Maybe Menungai doesn't break out the way that he did. It's something where it's giving Ben Johnson too much credit, but there's a little bit of if he didn't play running back for this guy, I trust his evaluation of what he wants out of a running back.
Yeah, two carries all year.
Yeah. It's
a name we know because of the Texas ties, but
yeah.
That might be as far as it goes.
And he got punched by Aziz Alshire.
Yeah,
Sunday night football.
Would Aziz have to apologize, or would Rashawn have to apologize for putting his jaw in the area of Aziz's hand?
Hey, you know, we need a compromise. You know, we just need to come together.
Come together,
yeah.
And go. Hey, look, man.
Give him a Coke Zero or whatever.
Whatever it takes.
Whatever Kendall Jenner did in that commercial.
Yeah, yeah. Was it a Pepsi?
Or maybe it was a Pepsi.
Yeah, I think it was a Pepsi. In that
sorry, Coke.
That stupid ass commercial. Bringing people together with Pepsi.
Hey, it worked.
Did it?
Yeah.
I mean, the most recent things I've seen in our country.
We need a re-up.
Oh, you need more Pepsis to be handed
one more
out.
Pepsi.
Okay.
One Pepsi every decade. I think that.
Okay.
Quells things.
Yeah, Kendall Jenner of all people bringing people together. Sure. A Kardashian is what we're looking for. All right, we'll go to break with that. Thanks for the call. Rashawn Johnson, a name we know, just don't know if we're talking about improving a subpar Texans running game and an average running back room. Don't think that's the way to go, but maybe it happens in the draft. We talked about receiver free agents. I don't know the running back free agency pool about who might be available.
I think we talked about it on a bullpen. Tyler Allgeier was one that I was like, hey, listen, if you just want a backup or, you know, a guy to share with Woody Marks, Tyler Allgeier is kind of the guy I would look at.
But. Yeah, not bad. I believe Kenneth Walker will be a free agent as well.
Oh, well, I mean, if you're Seattle.
What are you doing? After
he's not going to be a free agent.
Yeah, I mean, Zach Charbonnet certainly was a guy taking a lot of carries. He gets hurt and Kenneth Walker puts on the performance he's put on.
That was like
Travis Etienne's another one. Rico Dowdell. These are guys where you're paying 7-8 multi-year deals, maybe getting a double digits with some of them. So they're in a different tier than what we just had that call about when it comes to Rashawn Johnson. But there are backs out there that if you're willing to spend some cash, Texans are actually minus in cap space, so they'd have to make moves. If you want an improvement in the backfield, you got guys who can certainly help you do that. All right, we'll go to break with that. You want to call in 713-780-3776. We'll stick with football because Lance is at the Senior Bowl, and one particular height came out. And while C.J. Stroud is one of the main characters of the NFL playoffs, we got our first main character of the NFL draft process. We'll talk about that when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
The Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Lying about the height of your players on the college roster is a long-standing thing. It's been happening for years, and we wait for the combine to find out exactly how tall players are. Sometimes it matters, sometimes it doesn't. Like, if you're a corner and you're 6 feet and a half instead of 6'1" and a half or 6'2", NFL people take note. But if you can run, it's less of a problem than in this case. This quarterback wasn't going to be a high draft pick, but being listed at 6 feet certainly gave him a better chance than his actual height. Diego Pavia, the Vanderbilt quarterback, we've heard so much about him because of what he's done and also because Keith calls in. Certainly Vanderbilt's been a bigger topic of conversation than it really should have been all year long, but credit to Keith for getting that call right about them winning 10-plus games. Diego Pavia listed at 6 feet on the Vanderbilt website. Comes in at, what, 5'9 and 7'8 as an actual height for him?
Bump him up to 5'10, guys.
I mean, I think, yeah, well, official's official, Sean.
I know.
I imagine they'd round up, like, if he actually made a roster. No one's going to put 5'9 and 7'8.
5'9 is just tough.
Like, yeah. There have been quarterbacks like Kyler is 5'10, I think.
Yeah, I can look up.
But the 5'9 thing really hurts. Like, he's the size of D'Angelo Ponds, like the corner from Indiana. You don't want to be the a quarterback who's the same size as a corner they call small.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, 6 foot's always kind of used as like the cutoff, you know, like the rough kind of like.
Yeah, that's the lowest they'll go as far as considering you a real prospect.
But like when you're not 5'10",
not
that's
even.
Tough.
That, not
like,
even.
Like you're not even five and then a double digit number. It's
hard. That's why the 5'9 and 7'8 is so 7'8 is so damaging.
So Kyler was measured at 5'10 1/8.
Yeah, but he got the 5'10. You can say 5'10 and he was the number one overall pick. Look, Diego Pavia was never going to be a first round pick. He's limited as a thrower. He doesn't have the arm talent that Kyler did. Doesn't move around like Kyler. Despite his ability in the run game, he's not the dynamic athlete. We all know that.
Kyler is basically like Lamar Jackson,
just smaller.
Tiny body.
Yeah. Diego Pavia is, what is he? He's like Colin Klein in a smaller body.
Yeah, he's just like, he's a grinder, fun college quarterback.
He's a fun college quarterback who in the current day and age where you can get 8 years of eligibility would have really benefited from just hanging on for 8 years if he could. Instead, his eligibility is up, and now he's been thrust into the NFL world where he went from college hero and living legend to, oh, look at your little ass. Get out of here.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you lose eligibility. You go from the college world talking about you as the heart and soul of a Vanderbilt rebuild to, look, get the small effer out of here. Get out of here. You can't play quarterback. You can't play quarterback in the NFL.
Never mind. He's not really like, even at Vanderbilt, even for a college quarterback, was not like super arm.
No,
guy.
It wasn't what he was.
Yeah.
He was grit and grind and all the things.
Not literally running the triple option, but basically running like a version of the triple option.
Run game, quarterback, run and throw the ball, throw fade routes and then throw like play action to your tight end, stuff like that. Glance routes on the RPO, stuff like that. So we all saw him and Vanderbilt was a great story and a really good team. But that's over now.
Yeah.
And now he's graduated to evaluators talking about, we don't care about any of that stuff. You're just too small, an arm that isn't NFL worthy. And maybe now that you're 5'9 and 7'8, maybe undraftable.
I was going to add, that's what my question was going to be. It's like, do I think he gets drafted?
Will someone give him a chance?
It's a weak quarterback class.
It is. And
you have to get that out there. It's a weak quarterback class.
And he will be a topic of conversation on the third day. People, where's Diego Pavia going to go? As other quarterbacks get talked about, And go on the draft. He will become a conversation piece. I'm sure the Pavias will want cameras wherever they're situated.
I was gonna say I'd on draft like day that they'll have a camera.
Maybe
set up on
I would advise them to not have it be a thing on the first and second day of the draft. You don't want to be certainly not the first day, but the second day either. Hey, cameras, come in on that Saturday, and we'll have a party and we'll see where we go. Yeah. I think that might be what the networks are looking for as well, having a chance to watch Diego Pavia potentially go through it on the third day of the draft. This is where he's at right now. He went from potential Heisman winner, at least in his eyes, he did the Heisman pose after a touchdown, to random people, particularly one person, calling him a pocket-sized passer. That's the change. From, hey, we belong in the playoff, to we're going to call him a pocket-sized passer. It's a tough world out there. That's why, if we remember, like the Johnny Manziel doc came out, and Johnny wasn't all that thrilled, firstly, about being in Cleveland. But once he got there, it's like, hey, I'd rather still be in college. It's fun in college. Yeah. I'm the man in college. Now Diego Pavia has to deal with the real world and all that comes with it.
So I just pulled up Jordan Reed, ESPN draft analyst. He did 12 quarterbacks in the draft. Like, he ranked 12 quarterbacks in the draft. Diego Pavia is not on here. Diego Pavia is not in the top 12.
Not a chance.
Of his thing. Now, maybe, you know, Trinidad Chambliss is on here. Maybe he...
How is Trinidad Chambliss going to measure? Isn't he listed at 6 feet tall, too?
Let's see. Yeah, they have him at 6 foot, but I don't think he's been officially.
He's never been measured at the combine yet, so we'll see where he comes in.
So he's 5'10". Yeah,
yeah, I mean, the ESPN site has him at 6'1", so maybe he comes in at 5'11", 6 feet. Who knows?
Yeah.
He is a guy people think highly of.
Wow, Nussmeier's only 6'1".
But he is at least 6 feet. That kind of is the cutoff line.
It helps, yeah. Wouldn't it be funny if when Lance comes back from the Senior Bowl, he's just like, man, Pavia, let me tell you, love that guy.
No, I've heard him talk a lot about quarterbacks. No chance.
You know what? You have to see him in person. He's like a band. You got to see him live.
I know. Yeah, they put on great live performances. Yeah, you know, the album stuff, take it or leave it. But when you see him live, what they do,
the
changes their perspective.
He had of that crowd of scouts.
We'll see if Pavia can work his magic. Kind of feel like it's not going to be the case.
Yeah.
But either way, there it is. You know a little bit more about the man who helped Vanderbilt come to national prominence.
Yeah, I mean, great college quarterback, like, without a doubt. Like, as far as, like, the 21st century goes, like, one of the better ones. Like,
all the things that's surrounding him, the personality, all of it plays a part in his legacy. Unfortunately for him, you can't be in college forever.
No.
Unless,
not yet.
Unless you tear a couple ACLs, which would mean two, and it happened during COVID, those things that lead to these guys being around for 7 or 8 years.
I think a guy got an eighth year.
Yeah, Torrey got it.
Yeah, there we go. I was like,
Miami linebacker got it.
I know it wasn't McCormick. That was the guy from a couple years
ago. Yeah, they had him for what? Eight? He was in the league. I mean,
he was 2016.
He was in high school class, what, 8, 9 years he had a chance to play, or at least stretch out his eligibility over that long?
Yeah, I think he had like 4 medical retroats or something.
Yes, his story was told quite a bit last year.
Yeah, but, you know.
So Miami got another guy. Chase Smith got a 6-year of eligibility. Yeah. So both linebackers, by the way. Yeah, eighth and a 6-year of eligibility. That's where we are right now.
Mario's coaching guys he played with at this
point. But at least none of those guys had a couple snaps in the UFL, like the Bama player, the Bama big man who played in the G League, and that's still up in the air.
We could probably get one of those, right? Like a guy pre-NIL, so he left early, but, you know, wasn't an NFL player, so he went to play in the XFL, now UFL. And, like, he can probably find his way back on a college football. I'm actually surprised we haven't had that yet. Like, I'm surprised that basketball is the only one where this happens.
I mean, well, they set a precedent, and if all the court legalese allows for him to play the rest of the year, don't put that out of the question, where a guy who spent some time in the UFL winds up back on his college campus as long as the coach would accept it.
He played in the NFL too.
Yeah, it's going to be a little tough for him to get that off. We'll go to break, and we have some news in the division, which led to an off-air slight discussion about ranking the coordinators in this division. I'll just warn you, the Texans aren't going to look good. We'll get to that when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
Right.
broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
So thanks to our social media team, a team of one, Lance caught some heat for suggesting that CJ Stroud, this was before the playoff run, could be the fourth worst quarterback in the division going to next season. I mean, maybe very prescient by Lance now that we look at it. Now, with the hiring of Brian Daboll, the Titans hired Brian Daboll as their OC. Are we in agreement, at least by name and certainly reputation, that the Texans have the fourth best in this case, just say the worst OC in the division? You got Daboll, Steichen calls plays in Indy, and then you also have Liam Cohen, head coach / OC, calling plays.
Duval.
And one of his actual underlings was up for multiple head coaching jobs this offseason. So are we strongly in the camp of worst rated OC, at least by reputation in the division with Nick Haley?
I might take the guys that don't call plays for Steichen.
Like the pass game coordinators.
Yeah, just like blind resume, just being like, yeah.
Yeah, Nick Haley wasn't up for any jobs this offseason.
Yeah, so.
I mean, hell, the GM wouldn't even definitively say he'll be back. He's like, I expect him to be back. Yeah. So I think it's pretty clear. We got the top DC play calling combination and Burke and DeMeco in the division.
I was going to say, other than, I guess, Saleh, but I was like, he might have the top two between Burke and DeMeco. I would give Saleh ahead of Burke, but the defense, we're good.
So Saleh.
We got that covered.
So the Titans have Saleh
and
they hired Daboll.
Yeah.
That's not a bad offseason as far as offense defense combo.
No, a lot of experience. I mean, obviously, two guys that have been head coaches before, and when they have been coordinators, they're both really good. Like Saleh, what he did with the Niners defense, like really impressive considering the amount of injuries they had, and when they didn't have that many injuries, they're really good. So, I feel pretty good about Saleh as the head coach and Daboll as a play caller. I have no real issue. I don't know if he's like, you know, top of the league, but he's good.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, he had the chance to coordinate an offense for Josh Allen.
That helps.
He had the 1 year of Daniel Jones, which might be the biggest accomplishment, although we see Daniel Jones with the Colts, so maybe not so much.
Steichen's like, don't impress me much.
Yeah. So perhaps he ruined Daniel Jones as opposed to accelerated his performances and made him the player he was that 1 year when Steichen could do better. And then he had, you know, Jackson Dart when he wasn't in the concussion tent was at least entertaining as well. So, yeah, Daboll to Tennessee. I wasn't looking for that. I was hoping for some no-name errand boy from the 49er Rams tree.
Yeah,
I mean, I guess only one per division, I guess.
They try to spread it around.
I mean, Liam Cohen called plays, at least for Kentucky. He wasn't calling plays for the Rams. I mean, he got hired. He went like back twice.
I was going to say, he has a resume outside of the Rams.
Yes, where a college program wanted him as their OC.
Yeah. No, I out of Cohen, Daboll, and Steichen, I think I go Cohen, Steichen, Daboll.
And Cohen was also the OC for the Bucks as well.
Yeah.
Which led them getting the Jack job.
That's right. That's right.
So, yes, he does have stuff outside the Rams.
Yeah. I think he's the best offensive play caller in the division. If Kaylee's definitively the worst, I think Cohen and then Steichen and then Daboll.
Yeah,
those are close.
I mentioned what Daboll did for Daniel Jones. When you can turn Trevor Lawrence into at least the fifth best MVP candidate.
Yeah.
Real, and he did great things for Baker too. Dave Canales did as well, but he followed that up with another good Baker year, and Josh Grizzard did not, so that's why he's out of a job.
Yeah, no. Grizzard, tough one.
I don't know
if it's Grizzard or Grizzard. It feels like
it's probably Grizzard.
It feels like it's Grizzard, but you want to say Grizzard.
Yes. Grizzard sounds better than Grizzard.
But now he's fired. Grizzard.
I mean, he coached like a Grizzard, at least. Let's get to Anthony. He wants to talk about a night of the Seven Kingdoms. Excuse me. What's up, Anthony?
What's up, Dale? I haven't called in a while. I've been busy. So I called, I think, last year, and I was so disappointed in the Dragon Season 2.
Mm-hmm.
I'm loving this new season of the Night's Tale. I mean, that's my favorite book of all the Game of Thrones books that he's ever did. Someone that actually makes the most sense, and I love all the characters. I just really hope they don't ruin it like they did Season 2 of the Dragon, or what I call the snorings, because I fell asleep all through Season 2. But this one is fun. I just wanted to get your opinion on it, because I'm probably not going to be able to tune in Friday.
Appreciate it. He said A Knight's Tale. He was not making reference to the Heath Ledger movie. The novella for Season 1 is called A Knight's Tale. Just to clear it up for people.
Anthony got close enough on all the names that I could keep up, but yeah, I didn't.
I just want to clean it up. He wasn't talking about that movie.
It is a tale about knights, though.
Yes.
It is one specific knight's tale.
Yes, but the novella that George R.R. Martin wrote was called A Knight's Tale, and it is about this tourney that Dunk, or Sir Duncan the Tall now, his name, is trying to kind of circumvent or circumnavigate all the lords and trying to get into the tournament. I've enjoyed the season so far. I like the back and forth between Dunk and Egg, particularly when they're talking about guys calling him either too stupid or too small, and that back and forth as they're sitting at the table.
Yeah.
It's been good so far. I like it. It's a little different tone because you're seeing it from the level of someone who isn't a lady or a lord. So any conversation you see is with Dunk in the room. You're not leaving Dunk or Sir Duncan now. You're not leaving him to hear a conversation between Targaryens. If he's in the room, you hear it. If not, you don't. So that's kind of the story being told so far. As they say, the small folk are involved, and the small folk certainly are always affected by what the lords are doing. And we get to see it from Duncan X's perspective. Of course, Egg, the little person, the little man in question, or the little,
he's a boy.
He's a boy.
He's not a little person.
I know. That's why I had. I mean, he's a person, but I know what little person means. So I was trying to get around it, but I couldn't. He is a small child who's smarter than he should, considering where he was found, which leads you to kind of guess or speculate who actually is he? Because how does he know so much when he was found at some random inn?
Yeah. This is episode 2, right?
Yes.
The one that was on
just aired,
Sunday.
Yes.
Yeah. Episode 2, they really, I mean, I don't know how much of it it's like actually they're trying to.
Yeah, because there are three books out. So if you've read any of them, you know.
I can put it together.
Yeah, if you don't know, there are enough context clues to tell you that even if you're not exactly sure where he's from or who he is,
he's not exactly Kaiser Soze.
Yeah, I mean, reactions to certain names being mentioned will tell you that he's not just some random stable boy floating around where Duncan picks him up,
and he knows like biographical details of like the fathers of Kingsguard people.
Yeah, and he can Dunk makes mention of placing a bet on a certain Targaryen. He's like, I wouldn't make that bet. So Dunk doesn't know much. Egg knows quite a bit. Yeah. One's tall, one's small. It's like twins.
Yeah.
It's like DeVito and Schwarzenegger.
It is like twins.
Yeah.
I want George R. R. Martin to be like, this book series was heavily influenced by one of cinema's greatest works. By that, I mean Twins.
I don't know. I wish.
I saw that movie and I wrote this book.
Like Star Wars is influenced by Dune and Frank Herbert's writings. And so I wish we got to a point where George would just admit, hey, you remember Twins?
Remember that one?
Yeah. I was really heavily into that when I was writing this. I don't think we're going to see that. But yeah, Anthony, you like it. So does George R.R. Martin. Season 1, he generally loves, particularly of his most recent spinoffs. Season 2 is where we hit the issues.
Yeah, yeah. Once the creators are like, hey, George, you know.
Relax.
Yeah, you made it a hot line. I made it a hot song.
Yeah.
Right? That's when George R. R. Martin's like.
Yeah,
it's magic.
Sean and I were joking about it, that he loves the portrayal of egg right now. Just wait till that actor decides, people love me. Let me give them more of me in this role. And, and George will turn on that kid real quick. If it ain't straight from the book, or at least an interpretation that follows closely to what the book is giving, George R.R. Martin starts to have issues.
Yeah.
He turns into a Commodus in Gladiator. Thumbs down.
That is basically all these shows. The unspoken part is that somewhere George R.R. Martin's sitting there putting his thumb up and thumb down.
Yeah. You know
every line of dialogue.
You know that Jags fan? That gif of that Jags fan just doing this?
Yeah.
Who kind of looks like George R.R. Martin? That's what George does when things flip in a way he doesn't like.
He does look like American George R.R. Martin.
Yeah. Oh, I think George is American, too.
Oh, is he American?
Yeah. I would assume he's English, too, because all the actors in the shows are English. Yeah. But I think he's an American, too.
Oh, wow. Good shout out to us.
Yeah, look at us. We get one there.
Yeah, we can make a show about knights and sirs.
Yeah. Yeah, and of course, George was heavily influenced by things going on in England as far as writing the books. But,
yeah, and there's stuff that is like just straight lifted from
history. He's from Bayonne, New Jersey.
Wow. So he's a Yankees fan, probably.
That's unfortunate. But hey, can't all be one. He can't have a banger fandom and a banger series.
No.
Can't have both.
That makes sense.
All right, we'll go to break with that. Thanks for the call, Anthony. We will likely talk more A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms with Michael. And speaking of Michael recommended something weeks ago now, and I got a chance to watch it, featuring Brendan Fraser. We'll talk about that. We'll get into some more sports before we wrap it up. One more segment to go. If you want to join us, 713-780-3776.
Houston's only FM sports station, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So there is, I don't know, it's seems confirmed, but it's an ugly story involving Allen Iverson. He went over to Europe. Or excuse me, Australia. Excuse me, Australia, doing a tour. You know, the NBA players will go into different countries, certainly to promote the game and themselves. And this time, he went over to Australia, and he was supposed to visit 12 kids battling cancer through an event organized by Challenge Supporting Kids with Cancer and Iverson's management team. And boy, the stories coming out of it aren't great. It appears that Allen Iverson did not meet with the children. And when people asked why he wasn't meeting with the families, security came out and told the families he was having a bad day and didn't want to come out. I mean, of course, this made it to NBA Reddit, which is not a reliable source, but apparently the people involved with organizing it confirmed the account. Andrew Bogut, you remember him? Former NBA player, played with the Warriors.
Notable Australian.
Notable, loves his country quite a bit. Pretty much tweeted it out as a blind item. Current former NBA player did a tour of Australia and treated people poorly and didn't fulfill appointments and obligations. In other news, the sky is blue. Then he quote tweeted that with absolute bleep human. No excuses for this. If anyone knows this family, please reach out. So it did start, it appears, on NBA Reddit, but people who are involved in this have confirmed that this took place, apparently. So that, from the outside looking in, it seems terrible that this went down for kids who, you know, are going through something pretty tough and wanted a chance to meet a legend. And if the accounts are true, that didn't happen. And the reasoning for it is not something you're going to excuse. So that happened. It happened on the 22nd of this month, and people are going after AI right now. We can move on to something a little bit lighter. I just saw that pop across my timeline in the last 5 minutes or so. So Michael Carroll, who does host Comicast, He does that with John Lee. You can hear that tomorrow night here on ESPN 975. And also, of course, you can hear it wherever you listen to podcasts. He suggested a movie called Rental Family with Brendan Fraser. He's in Japan, and he is struggling as an actor in Japan, looking for roles. And the role he does get is to be an actor in people's lives. Like, for example, this agency does things called apologies. I forgot what it's called. Apology service, where if you're a husband who cheated on his wife, they have a woman pretend to be the mistress, and the wife unknowingly thinks the woman is the mistress, and she can work out her frustrations over the reveal, over what her husband did, and the woman acting as a mistress will apologize to the wife. This is if the husband doesn't want to involve his actual mistress in his apology. So stuff like that. You're actually involved in people's real lives, but you're hired by someone. And Brendan Fraser plays an American who has to pretend to be the dad of a mixed race child because they're trying to get her into a school. And of course, that has all the emotional pulling of the heartstrings and all that stuff. Brendan Fraser coming to grips with his life and how he affected the child's life, so on and so forth. You know, it almost got a tear or two.
Wow.
It's that good. I will credit Michael for suggesting Rental Family. I don't know exactly where you can find it. I just have places where I can find things to watch. But it's out there. And, you know, Rotten Tomatoes gave it an 87%. So, and it's also kind of like this backdoor pilot into Monarch Legacy of Monsters. Because there are two people from that series in the show, in the movie.
Uh-huh.
Like, I was, hey, you're from, you were acting with Kurt Russell's kid.
Yeah, Wyatt Russell. Well, yeah, what are you?
It's not him, though.
I know.
It's also
one of the other American actors.
Yeah, it was Takahiro Hira, he's also in Shogun, but he was in Monarch Legacy of Monsters, I believe. At least he played like the absentee dad or something in that one. He had two families, I think is what it was, in Monarch Legacy of Monsters. And
not great.
And the woman, her name is Mari Yamamoto. She played the woman Wyatt Russell was into. Of course, he got older and turned to Kurt Russell in the show. She stayed young. Because I think either there's some mystery about whether she died or not in season one. So they're both in that show. So I'm like, in the show and in the movie. It's, hey, what is this? Is Brendan Fraser going to turn into Godzilla? So the movie's it's fun. If you like something to pull at your heartstrings and you want to get a little emotional, there it is, Rental Family. Find it where you find it.
To keep with things we watched this past week or so. Watch The Rip, finally.
Oh, the
Ben Affleck, Matt Damon, Miami Cops movie.
Yeah.
It's really good. It's really good. It is like very B-level movie, just with A-list celebrities.
Definitely.
In it, or A-list actors.
Yeah.
Where like Tiana Taylor is in this movie. Doesn't really do much. She's just like part of the crew.
But up for an Oscar for a different role.
Steven Yeun is in this movie, yeah. Also part of the crew. Yeah. Kyle Chandler, Coach Taylor.
Yeah, plays, a lot of guys.
Plays a DEA agent. It's a great movie. It's like definitely whoever wrote it was like, this is probably just going to be Gerard Butler and Pablo Shriver reuniting
after Den
of Thieves.
Yeah.
And then they're like, wait, what? Ben Affleck wants to make this movie with Matt Damon?
And it also has not James Gunn Supergirl, but the Supergirl from...
My Supergirl.
Yeah, Sasha.
From The Flash.
I think it's Sasha Calle, or how you say her last name. Apologize for butchering that. She's in it as well. And people in Miami took note of Ben Affleck butchering Hialeah.
Oh, he does?
I think he says Hialeah.
Oh, and Hialeah.
It's not pronounced that way. I was listening to people talk about it. I'm not exactly sure, but he got that wrong. Okay. And he speaks Spanish.
Yeah, he speaks Spanish in that movie.
He will showcase his ability to speak Spanish quite a bit, but he did not pronounce, I think he said Hialeah, but that's not how it's pronounced. Something like that.
This isn't really a spoiler. I mean, it's kind of a spoiler, but it doesn't actually affect anything. Is that Matt Damon and Ben Affleck have a conversation in Spanish while on FaceTime with a drug lord. So, you know, he doesn't know how to say Hialeah or Hialeah, but he does know how to speak Spanish to a cartel boss.
From what I remember, he said Hialeah and it's Hialeah. I think that's okay. Either way, he reversed how he's supposed to say it, and he got it wrong.
Bad yeah. look for Hialeah in this movie, though. I'm not looking to move there. I'll just say that.
According to, because now it just became a conversation about that place, it's actually one of the more expensive places
really?
To live now, despite the depiction of what you saw in the movie.
Cartels paying a lot of money to live there.
I mean, property values are higher than you might imagine, apparently. So I saw The Rip, too. It was fun. Steven Yeun, I've always liked him and stuff.
Yeah. This is a great, again,
it was a great cast.
It's a great cast.
For a movie like you said that.
Why are they in this movie?
Yeah, what's going on here? It's a Netflix movie. I mean, you could have, it feels like you could have found lesser actors, made it less expensive.
There should be a rapper in this movie. But why is there not a rapper in this movie?
You got the gravitas of Ben Affleck and Matt Damon.
Yeah. There's like three people that have been nominated for
Matt Damon's
for
got
Oscars.
To simultaneously promote The Rip and then also, hey, I'm in
The Odyssey.
I'm in The Odyssey
Tiana
as well.
Tiana Taylor's like, oh, I'm nominated for an Oscar. Also,
but let me get
I'm
asked
like the
about
fourth person in this
The
group.
Rip. I have like 5 minutes of
I'm just
screen
counting money
time practically.
Entire
yeah, I barely speak, but I'm in this and also in one battle after another. That music means we're done for the day. Thank you for everyone who called in. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, but since we're done for the day, Sean, what does that mean?
That's what I do. Dumb it into pain.
He did last night, so much so that Jared Jackson was running scared. DPOY, my ass. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards. Free shipping with no minimum purchase. Triple points on 2 purchases and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.